Buongiorno, boys. Say hello to all my new hashtag friends. It's a little word I assembled to consecrate my fans, who are also my friends.
Okay, friends doesn't sound nice.
Maybe he's born with it. Maybe it's wedding stress. Either way, David's nighttime accidents are back, and it brings about some unwanted conversations and rubber sheets. Meanwhile, the Rosebud Motel empire is blooming as Johnny, Stevie, and Roland crash awake in order to get first dibs on a new property to add to the franchise. Moira's Crows movie is back on track for release, and she's taking to the social media helm to promote the film, resulting in an accidental and revealing live stream. Say hello to our hashtag friends and join us as we unpack Season 6, Episode 2, The Incident.
Well, hello, hello, and welcome back to Shitless Season 6, Episode 2.
Aloha, friends.
The incident, Katie. It's about to be an incident. Are you ready?
I'm so ready. And as I was rewatching this, I had a little tinge of jealousy that you're doing this one because the comedic writing in this episode is so good to me. There's so many good lines in this, like, funny lines in this episode.
So many funny lines. And even though this is kind of like a little bit of a standalone episode in some ways, I mean, there's some development, which we'll get into with like Johnny and Stevie, but I will explain to you all as this episode unfolds why I have some sympathetic feelings for David, and that's all I'm gonna say about that so far.
Girl, same.
Okay.
Sounds like we're gonna get into some real personal stories tonight.
We are. You can depend on it. But let's do a quick, I think we just have a quick bit of news following up from last week. Yep. Actually, the day that our last episode went live, it was Sarah Levy's birthday. So happy birthday, Sarah Levy, aka our Twyla.
Is she younger than Dan or is she older?
She is younger than Dan. Younger. I believe.
Okay.
She so is he's the older sister.
Gotcha.
So happy birthday to her. I only got one poll out there on the gram, and it was today as we're recording. Mm-hmm. So we don't have complete data yet, but I did ask for those who are engaged or married to just chime in and let us know what their engagement timeline was. Were you a 90-day fiance type person? Or I think it had 3 to 6 months, 6 to 12, and then a year or longer. And as of this moment, Katie, it looks like 11%, which was 2 votes, were less than 90 days. Mm. 3 to 6 was 16%. And then we're tied with 6 to 12 months and 1 year or longer, both coming in at 37%.
So. Okay. I was anticipating that 6 to 12 window to be the biggest, the bigger winner.
But, you know, I wonder if because of COVID, if we have any newlyweds out there, like that could potentially
waited even longer,
push that back a little bit. I'm mostly impressed by the 90 day or less. Like, I kind of want to know, how did that all go?
What was the
plan? What was the story? Did you go to Vegas? Was it a courthouse situation?
Did you decide while you were in Vegas after you rolled
decide?
A 7?
Or was the timeline not just 90 days, but 90 seconds?
Let's do this.
A la
Ross and Rachel style.
Yeah, exactly. Katie, I have my own quick little engagement update for you.
Okay.
I don't know if I'll do these every week. We'll just kind of see if the theme of the episode permits.
We are in wedding planning mode.
We are in wedding planning mode. And I talked last week about how I was nervous to get started with like the venue details and deciding on a date. Well, tomorrow, as of recording this tomorrow, so it'll actually be in the past.
Will have already happened.
We are touring our first venue tomorrow, which I am excited about.
In Cincy, then.
It is local, and that's kind of surprising because we were very open to all zip codes and time zones. So this is a place we've actually kind of thought about and talked about in the past, and we just kind of reached out on a whim, and the event planner for this space, his name is Roger, he seems like a very fabulous, nice man, responded right away, and we're gonna go see it tomorrow after work. So nice. Excited for that.
What's the venue? What is the It is a mansion. Okay.
Not as big as David's mansion.
Elmbridge Manor.
No, but it's actually in Kentucky, but it has a great view of downtown Cincinnati.
Ooh, pretty.
And it has some like good package options that we're interested in. We definitely want to know about catering, if there's the option to do our own catering, just because we do want to have some Indian food.
Right.
But there is a lot of good options that seem very appealing, and it's a beautiful space. So yeah, we're gonna check it out.
We're gonna need a report next week. Yeah.
So far I'm on David's timeline. Last week it was venue. This week I might wet the bed. We'll just have to see.
With excitement.
We'll just have to see.
Or anxiety.
But yeah. So far I'm one for one, kind of staying on track with David and Patrick's timeline.
Alrighty.
So
cool. We'll see. All right. I'm excited for this. I'm excited to hear about it.
Yes. But tonight's episode, like I said, there's not a ton of wedding content, really. I'm going to be leading this episode.
Very standalone, like you said, this one.
It is. A little bit of development, but like you said, a good fun one. Lots of great one-liners, mostly coming from Nora.
Moira.
From Nora. Of course. So, yeah, I'm ready if you're ready, Katie.
Jump in. Let's get started.
Okay. Well, we have a unique cold open, and you'll notice the last scene also ends in Patrick's apartment. I think this might be a first, but we are in Patrick and David ? Apartment. I guess he sleeps over a lot, which makes sense. They're engaged.
Mm-hmm.
They're probably going to be living there, but David wakes up kind of alarmed as if something has spilled in the bed, and we've all been there, haven't we?
Oh, what is that? There's white.
He's like, and Patrick half asleep. Are you bleeding? Did you spill something?
Has there been a murder?
There's wet in the bed. And then suddenly he makes a face as if he knows what it is and what the real situation is in this moment. And I think we all know as well. Like, it could only be one thing.
Wah, wah.
David has wet the bed.
Dun, as a dun, grown, dun. As a grown adult.
As a grown adult. Katie, I've got some bedwetting stats for you, but we'll get to those in a second. Let's get through this cold open.
Bedwetting stats.
I did my research.
Okay.
So he suddenly jumps out of bed. He's like, it's nothing. Doesn't want to talk about it. And Patrick now catches on and kind of thinks it's like endearing a little bit, you know, but that just makes it worse for David.
Right. The way he said, oh my God, David. Yeah, did you wet the bed?
He's like, no, he was like, no, we're not doing this. He's embarrassed, mortified, wraps himself up in their bedding while Patrick just tries to reassure him, like, it's not a big deal. But at the same time, Patrick would like that blanket back because he has to get it in the wash before the stain sets. And David's just going on and on. Nothing about this is fine. Do we have to file for divorce if we haven't even gotten married? Like,
he's done.
He just can't bring himself to, like, he's just mortified, you know, and mentions, like, is that window unlocked? Because I might have to jump out the window. Patrick says, no, we're not getting divorced yet. I have to see if I can get the stain out of the sheets. Trying to crack a joke. This is not the time, Patrick.
He's all over the attempted jokes in this episode land flat with David.
David's even like grinding his teeth. And you see a little bit of Dan breaking. Like, I think he's breaking just a little bit in the scene because he does his like little kind of the teeth grinding he did during his Simply the Best lap dance where you feel like he's breaking character a little bit. David says, we can never see each other again. And he goes in the bathroom and hands Patrick the blanket kind of through the crack in the door. What a good fiance Patrick is, willing to take care of the situation in such a vulnerable moment. I don't know that I'm capable of that at this time in my fianceship, but
depending
it's hard
on
to say.
Depends on is if it's just bedwetting, you just ball that shit up and throw it in the wash.
You do.
You could get away without.
Yeah. If it's just bedwetting.
Yeah.
Anything more than that, I'm not
going
sure
any right further.
Now. Yeah.
Let's not go any deeper into that.
But Patrick, as David slams the door to take a shower, I'm assuming says, I love you. And David, I'm glad one of us does, just like completely mortified with
himself.
He's
just embarrassed. So embarrassed. Yeah. But it's like, has nothing embarrassing happened to you yet at this point? This is the man you're going to live with. I'm presuming you're going to be comfortable.
Get ready.
Farting around him and doing all the things, you know, like. This is the least of your problems, David.
This really is. Katie, can you think of your first, like, oh my God, this is a super embarrassing moment, thing that happened to you or that you did in front of Joe?
Well,
in your relationship.
I actually, for the very first night Joe slept over, like just slept over, didn't do anything, guys. But he slept over in my college bed. We were like in a twin size bed and he completely blasted a fart in his sleep and I was mortified. He didn't know it. Now I'm dealing with that every 5 minutes of every single night of my life. But that was very new for
that
me.
That was your initiation.
Yeah, absolutely.
Into the rest of your life.
The rest is history.
Oh man,
I don't know about anything for myself personally.
Yeah,
probably took me a while to be comfortable farting around Joe, but it's very comfortable now.
Sure.
What about you? Dish.
I think the biggest thing maybe that comes to mind is just the first time Sushant had to see me have a panic attack, and like that was very new for him, and I was very self-conscious.
When you were driving downtown, that
trying to park.
I remember you telling
me
that
like
story.
Maybe 3 or 4 months into our relationship. And so I was still being like extra nice. And then I just had a full on panic attack. We were heading downtown. We couldn't find parking. There were like a couple other things that were just triggering me that evening. And then I just started to like, instead of park, I just.
This night is over.
I just stopped kind of talking. And then I'm like getting back on the highway and he's so confused. He's like, are you okay? And I'm just like starting to cry and shaking my head. And I'm just like, I think I'm having a panic attack. And
then, we're going home.
And so he had to like learn all of that real quick.
Look at him.
He didn't run. No, we got through it. But
good
boy,
man.
That was our own kind of initiation.
Yeah, I'm sure.
So yeah, that's our cold open. David had a whoopsie daisy, which we'll find out more about that history in just a second. I think we're going to start with a little bit of Moira, and then she kind of jumps into the David Patrick storyline.
Okay. Right.
And then we'll wrap things up with Stevie and
that
Johnny
good.
And Roland. So let's start with Moira's opening scene. She's in the motel. Alexis comes in, and Alexis is back in publicist mode. I guess she's still on the case for Moira with all of her publicity for the Crows film. And Alexis has been chatting with Interflix, who is the new streaming service that we learned about. They want Moira to do a social media takeover for the Crows movie for a whole day, which
that
this is something. It does sound hostile. But this is something that you see, like if you ever
this
follow
is a
like
legit thing. Oh yeah,
movies or Broadway shows, they always like one of the
their star
performers
will
do like a come get my coffee with me and do my vocal warm ups and you know just like get a
fat
look into my day.
Come fat spatula with me.
But Alexis says, don't worry, I'll take care of it. I'll just post a couple of generic posts every 3 or 4 hours, keep people engaged. You don't have to worry about it. And Moira seems out of her element. Like, she doesn't really understand the social media jargon. So she only understood half of what Alexis said, but then is skeptical that Alexis is going to be, as she says, the architect behind these cute pics and funny one-liners.
In fairness, I think Moira definitely has her own signature, and you would be able to tell if a publicist is writing these things versus Moira
totally.
Or doing these things.
There's only one Moira Rose.
Yes. Like, I think she needs to put her signature on it, and Alexis isn't going to do that. Alexis is just going to do cutesy, trendy
she
things.
She is. But as we will learn, Moira needs help with more of the technical side of the posts. Yeah. Not so much the content, but the technical stuff.
Yeah.
So Moira even mentions, like, I have slightly a more cerebral style of comedy. But Alexis reminds her, like, you hate social media. You once called it an amusement park for clinical narcissists. And I'm just doing you a favor by taking care of this little chore for you. But Moira starts to get more interested and wants to be involved. She sees Alexis post a first little message with a little emoji winking on it. And Moira, not knowing what emojis are, is like, oh, can you add a little bird beak to that?
Like, let me just edit my own emoji.
That's not how this works. That's not how any of this works. But she's getting into it and she calls it their digital soapbox. And then they start getting a few likes and she's freaking out, which we've all been there.
It's the high. It's the euphoria. It's the euphoria, getting
the adrenaline. Yeah. People are calling. It's a
dopamine
back.
Hit. It's a dopamine hit.
Totally. And then we get to my first favorite joke of the night.
Me too.
We might need to purchase antibiotics because we've just gone viral.
And Alexis goes, "Ooh,"
but like thinks it's kind of cute. Like
so they're funny.
They're both kind of into it.
I believe so, we've just gone viral.
Yeah. Too Katie, funny. I wonder what our social media would look like if we let Moira Rose take over for a day.
Oh, God. There would be a lot of caw-caws.
A lot of caw-caws. A lot of like wig maintenance going on in the background, I'm
wig
sure.
Wig maintenance, yes.
Vocal warm-up.
She probably would appreciate the fact that we give each other trophies every season.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, awards.
Totally.
Look at your awards.
She would love it.
She would love it.
Moira, you're welcome to take over our
please, Moira.
Our socials, please help us. They're pretty pitiful some days. So we welcome the change.
Yep.
So that's the first little scene with Moira. And then let's jump into David and Patrick. And Moira's going to join the group in a quick second. So next we see David after his embarrassing awakening this morning. He's coming out of the bathroom. It's his 7th shower, apparently. I mean, I've had like 2 shower days where I've just like, we were outdoors or you feel like you're all gross and grimy and it's like extra long shower. And then maybe,
but not back to back, right?
But not back to back. No.
He's being extra.
7 in a row. But he does come out with his little hair turby on and a polka dot sweater. He still seems very like vulnerable about the whole situation. And you can tell Patrick kind of wants to talk about the incident, but if only just to like make him feel better and console
right.
him.
Like, this is fine. It's not as big of a deal as you're making it.
You know, we can take divorce off the table, as he says. But David does say, I can't say I would be as generous if the tables were turned. And so David goes to sit on the bed and you can hear this like loud rustling, crinkling noise. Crinkle. And he immediately catches on to what Patrick has been doing while these 7 showers were happening. He did the laundry, but he also clearly went to the store somewhere and got a sheet protector to basically rubber sheets is what we would call them growing up. Like you would call them
basically.
Rubber sheets.
Mattress protector.
Bed. Yeah. And he's saying, oh, no, it's just the stiff sheets. Oh, you must be sitting on the mattress tag. And David's like, I'm not dumb.
Extra stiff Egyptian crinkly cotton.
Calls it like a rubberized coating. Oh, purely coincidental. And now David is full on offended. Yeah. But Patrick is like, I just wanted you to be comfortable in case it happened again. And then he spits out, which probably wasn't the right thing to say. David, it's an expensive mattress. Like, you think David doesn't know that already? And he even
says, I agree, though. Mattresses are like buying a small car. It's ridiculous.
David's like, this is more expensive, though, than my dignity.
Another flat joke. At least. Another flat joke from Patrick.
Come on, Patrick. This is not the time. So, Katie, this is where I'm going to hit you with some bedwetting stats.
Okay.
And I've done my research. This first, I've cited 2 sources. Cross-reference
them?
Called it. Yes. So, this is from healthychildren.org. The official term, which Moira actually uses later in the episode, is nocturnal enuresis, which is nighttime bedwetting over the age of 5. And it's often... It often occurs, but not always. I think there's like primary and secondary with people who have already been nighttime potty trained. Like it's, I don't want to say a regression, but it's not always been a continuous issue versus primary where they're still trying to learn to be potty trained at nighttime. So according to this website, about 20% of children have some problems with bedwetting at the age of 5 and up to 10% at the age of 7. By late teens, the estimated rate of bedwetting is between 1 and 3% of children, and it is 2 to 3 times more common in boys than girls.
Interesting.
They say it's always, almost always something that goes away on its own, and it can be caused by a couple different things. But if it does become a chronic issue, especially with older children or teenagers, it is something that you should talk to your doctor with. And then I went to a second site called the National Association for incontinence or continence, I think.
Oh, okay.
And the first thing it said at the top was, it may surprise you that adult bedwetting is a very common occurrence. In fact, this page is the most visited page on the NAFC website. For many adults, it's hard to even talk about something they often think is a kid thing. But the truth is that 5 million Americans struggle with adult bedwetting, also known as sleep enuresis.
Oh, my God.
And they say there's some potential causes, things like genetics or hormones, some other things. Maybe you have like an overactive bladder or a small bladder. Sometimes maybe a UTI can affect this.
Maybe you drank too much.
Medications, stress.
Yeah.
Stress is one of them. Other health issues. So there's a lot of things that could cause bedwetting. I did not realize that the predicted number is 5 million, but I'm sure this is something many people who suffer with do not talk about with because it's embarrassing.
5 million is a lot. Yeah.
5 million is a lot. And it's Americans, just 5 million Americans, not globally. So, Katie, I'm going to dish some of my bedwetting history. And if you want to dish yours,
I will dish mine.
We can do that.
No secrets here.
No secrets here. So I was one of those children who struggled with bedwetting, even as like a young teen, although I eventually grew out of it. Definitely by the time I was like 14, and then maybe I had like one or two occurrences randomly after that. But for me, what I can remember is that I would always be dreaming about either being in the water or sometimes dreaming that I was going to the bathroom. Mm-hmm. And then you like actually physically go to the bathroom. And sometimes you don't even react right away because you feel like you're in your dream until you finally like snap out of it. And it's like, oh shit. And I had like, I didn't have a whole mattress protector, but I had like a topper for a while because it was a chronic problem. And I would always, especially when I got to the age of like 12, like, didn't always want to tell my mom, but like,
you can wash blankets and toppers. You cannot wash that mattress.
You cannot
like
wash
that.
A mattress.
So that is a very reasonable thing to have.
It is. I don't remember if we ever tried like anything like cutting, having a cutoff time for like liquids at night or anything like that. But I know that can work for a lot of people. But I think for me, it was just like, it was something with like my dream sequences and maybe like with maybe I had a strong bladder. I don't know. But like I wasn't getting woken up. And I'm not someone who usually has to go to the bathroom at night anyway. So I just like wasn't responsive to that. But
okay,
that was my history with bedwetting. How about you?
Well, I've recently wet the bed.
Okay, let's talk about it.
Not that recently. I don't remember having a problem with it as a kid, at least that I in memory. Maybe I'm sure I did like for a while until I was like fully potty trained. But I do have the situation that you're saying. If I'm dreaming I'm going to the bathroom, that is a signal that I need to wake the fuck up because I'm about to pee the bed. Mm-hmm. And I have caught myself like on the verge.
But
and
that's then, hard because like, you have to know you're dreaming, which isn't always the case.
But I have noticed that in recent, like the last few years, but I've pretty much caught myself. I haven't full on wet the bed except one time. This was in 2020. I remember it vividly because it was, and I don't know if this was why, these were just the circumstances leading up to it. But that day was the day I got my second COVID shot. Well, the first ones were two set, you know? I got my first one. Everything went fine. Got my second one. But I remember people saying, oh, they just felt really worn down after the second one. So I was kind of anticipating being like just exhausted or whatever. But I was feeling okay after. So that night I had a glass of red wine and I just enjoyed my evening like normal. Went to bed. I woke up like full on peed the bed. And I was like, what is this? Like I was out, dead out sleep, like a cement block. And I got up and I started like undoing the sheets and Joe like sat up. He's like, what are you doing? And I'm like, I wet the bed. And he's just like, oh, and that was it. Like we just quick changed the sheets together.
Good for him. Not giving you a hard time or anything.
That was it. No, it was like, he was so much asleep. He didn't even faze him.
That's too funny.
And I feel like I even had to remind him the next morning that we changed the sheets in the middle of the night. But I like that was the only time, but it was a full blown, like full bladder.
Yeah.
So I don't know if it was the combo of the COVID shot and the wine, or if it was just that I had a weird dream and like it all mixed in there.
You know, you say that, and I've got one more story to tell that is more recent that I didn't think of. So I didn't wet the bed, but I did wet myself during a surgery. I had sinus surgery. I've had several, but this was my first one back in, I think, like 2018. And I'm coming out of anesthesia. It's like complete general anesthesia, I think they call it. So you're completely under. And then I'm like recovering and I'm still groggy and not fully lucid. And my mom's next to me and I'm just kind of like, you know, whatever. And I remember going to the surgery, like I had my underwear on and like a hospital gown because it's just my sinuses.
You don't need a full body
and
access.
Suddenly I realize I'm like, I think I said to my mom, like, I don't think I'm wearing underwear. Should I be wearing underwear? And I realized my underwear was gone. Well, they were pumping. They pump you full of fluids when you're having surgery.
Right.
And I guess it was too much for me because
your body just expelled them.
I fully peed myself and they just had to like, I don't know, cut my underwear
off.
I'm
sure it happens all the time.
I know, but I was so embarrassed. And so now every time I go in to have any other procedure, I feel like I have to tell them. I'm like, I peed myself.
Listen, I peed myself. You might want to put a diaper on before we go in.
Please don't give me too much fluid. We'll all regret it if you do. But yeah.
If you're under anesthesia, you have no control over that.
I know.
Zero control.
You're already still vulnerable. It's like, I can't be worried about that too.
Yeah.
But yeah, sometimes it just happens.
Okay, so David's not alone.
He's not alone. And I'm sure there's many of you other listening.
I'm in.
You don't have to tell us your stories if you don't want to, but like, I'm sure there's some of you out there who are like, same girl, same.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
I'm in David's company personally. I'm good with it.
Good company. Yep. So anyways, those are our bedwetting stories.
Thank you for those statistics. That's interesting statistics as well.
I was expecting it to be a little bit higher percentage in kids, but maybe just because I like personally was one of those kids.
Right.
So next we see David and Patrick at work at the store, but it's very awkward and quiet. David's just off taking inventory by himself, maybe actually working. Who knows? Patrick's at the desk and comments that David's tea is getting cold. Apparently, David is refusing to drink any liquids at this point because he doesn't want to run the risk of another bedwetting accident.
And you have to hydrate.
Just then, Moira barges in on a full-blown live stream. Buongiorno, boys, talking to all her hashtag friends. And she's panning the room very broadly with her phone. And you can see it has like some kind of Technicolor Instagram filter on it. Like the colors keep changing.
Yep.
At first, I thought it was like, you know how sometimes when screens show up on like another screen, they get a little glitchy.
It was just a weird, wonky
effect. Think it's like an actual filter she's using.
She put a filter on it. Of course she did.
And she's telling all of her friends about this charming little mercantile, which happens to be owned by her son. But David wants nothing to do with this. He blocks his face with his clipboard. And then she pivots to his hashtag fiance, Patrick.
Hashtag. I don't think you have to say hashtag, Mrs. No. Gross.
David tells her she looks like the downfall of society and asks her to turn it off.
He's in a mood.
He really is. So before she goes, she has to address her friends, tells them to please check in for more Crows updates. She's really into this. And then gives a special shout out to, is this you, Katie? Wine and Cat Gal 74.
I was thinking this could be either one of us,
it
Stephanie.
Really could. Who she hopes stops crying soon. So she's going through something. That
they stole our screen names. How did they know?
That would be a good, very obscure screen name or bumper sticker, or it's too long for a license plate. But like,
right, just
only
to be a bumper sticker.
Half a dozen
only
people on this
really
planet would get it.
Hardcore fans. Yep.
So she signs off with a caw-caw for now and puts her phone down. And then she notices there's maybe trouble in paradise. The store seems a little somber and hostile.
Tension in the air.
Tension is right. Patrick tries to like make up a story to deflect, but it doesn't work. He's just like, oh, David just didn't get a lot of sleep, which just agitates David even more. That he's trying to lie about the incident.
Don't tell her anything. Not the truth, not a lie. Just don't tell her anything.
But it eventually comes out and Moira kind of puts two and two together. She's guessing at all of these things. Is it your sleep apnea? Is it this? Is it this?
Oh, David, don't tell me.
You've had another nighttime oopsie daisy.
Oh, what? Patrick said
that piques his attention.
And sets David off as well.
He storms out, says, I blame you if I don't come back. And Patrick, again, Patrick is like, he's enjoying this a little too much for David with the jokes and the grinning. Yeah. Like, he's really pushing David a little bit here. So David leaves, but Moira continues to fill Patrick in, saying that this only used to happen when David went to bed juiced up with anticipation. Literally and figuratively,
Is that what it is? Anticipation. Yeah.
But about something big or exciting happening, which Patrick says is strangely flattering to him to know that maybe David is so excited about their upcoming wedding that
she said, it seems you're pending nuptials have opened the floodgates once again.
Which he finds endearing in that context.
Yeah, it is kind of nice. Yeah.
So then we're kind of going to follow along with Moira for a bit. She comes in late to Jazigel's practice. Katie, also, when we're in the store, that was my first moment, because last week didn't have a lot of like Goodwood stuff, but that was my first moment of like, there's the store. That was literally in where we were. Like, it's all feels so real and there. Different now. So we know how she crossed the street to go to town hall for practice. She's 15 minutes late. She comes in with her camera phone, say Havarti girls, which
another one of my favorite lines.
That's a great cheese. I love a good
Havarti. I love every time. Nobody gets it whenever I say Havarti. Havarti girls.
That's so cute.
Yes.
Havarti. Jocelyn isn't really enthused though, because she's running late.
You're excited.
And then Moira takes a photo of them all and then immediately insults them by saying, oh, well, you can't win them all.
Can't all be winners.
And then explains her social media takeover, says she's getting very proficient at it all, and then goes to take a group selfie and notice, it's specifically for her new friend, Wine and Cat Gal 47, who is, we also find out, in a rehab center.
She should change her name to just Cat Gal at this point.
Peep Jocelyn in the foreground with her tongue out and peace sign face for this photo. And then Gwen in the back with her double devil horns.
Yeah.
Ronnie says nothing gets posted without her approval. I'm the Ronnie in this situation.
You're one of those.
Mm-hmm. I need to see all the edits before anything goes live. Just then, though, Alexis comes in and interrupts this photo session. She's out of breath and she needs to speak to her mom in private. And she says, who taught you how to live stream? And who taught her how to live stream, Katie?
I forget the girl's name, but she's from Singapore.
Cherry Bus. Like Cherry Bus is what has showed up on my
from Singapore.
Subtitles. From Singapore. This actually reminds me, I don't know why, it's just a random moment from earlier today. I was talking to my mom and she was watching all three of the younger kids. They were at my niece's cheerleading practice and she had the youngest two in the bleachers trying to entertain them. So I'm talking to them on the phone like, how's kindergarten going with my 5-year-old niece? And she goes to me, she goes, Aunt Stephanie, I have something to tell you. On the bus, I made friends with a teen. I said, a teen? Yes, a teen.
Your nieces are so dramatic.
I know.
Both
I
of them.
I was like, wow. She's 5 years old. I'm like,
I hear
you.
A lot of Nora stories, but Sadie, I have something to tell you. Like, yeah. I can tell she's getting her own
she's kind
dramatic
of the crazy
edge.
One. She's like our Wednesday Addams of the family. She's very
into
the
black
like,
sheep or
no, she just loves Halloween and like all things spooky. Anytime we see a black house or a dark house, we call it the Sadie house because she's just really into that.
Cute.
That doom and gloom. But yeah, she was like, I made friends with a teen. That was like, that's awesome. And Moira made friends with a teen named Cherry Bus from Singapore.
A Singaporean teen.
Who taught her how to live stream, but I guess no one taught her how to end the live stream because she thought by just setting the phone down, like you would set a phone down,
over.
Like an old timey phone, that it was over. She thought it would just end, but no, it's still recording. So Alexis goes on about, you basically made a whole podcast telling everyone how David is wetting the bed again, which shows that Alexis knows that side of David's history too.
Yeah.
It's common
family knowledge
for everybody.
Yep.
And Alexis, I love, she's like, if I wasn't your publicist, I would be enjoying this a lot more than I am, which is already like kind of a lot. Like she's
as his sister, she's got to love torn. A little bit of angst for him, you know?
Totally. But then she kind of snaps back into publicist and probably a little bit of good sister mode because she tries to shut it down before everyone else who are starting to catch on.
No need to follow,
video.
Guys. No need to watch that. Oh, maybe just once, she says.
Maybe just once. Moira does mention David is not on social media, which at one point we knew he had like less than 200 followers on Instagram. So maybe he just left the platform entirely.
Yeah.
So that is good for them in the sense that David might be none the wiser.
He's not
but
likely to see it. Yeah.
They just need to make sure no one else gets set information to him. Basically.
And if he's not on there, he can't be tagged or anything like that. Right. Which is nice, because that's the other risk. Even if you're not there looking, someone tags you and you get that notification.
Right.
Then suddenly he knows.
And if this is like an Instagram live stream, those expire after like 24 hours. Yeah. So they just have to make it through these next 24 hours and hopefully.
Unless you go in and manually delete them.
I mean, that is an option, but is Alexis into that option? We don't know yet. But next we see Alexis and Moira. They've summoned Patrick to the cafe alone to their booth. Mm. He looks very reluctant and suspicious. Moira is having, I think, just a coffee and Alexis has a Meadow Harvest smoothie from the looks of it. I don't know why she keeps going back to those things.
Must be a good day.
And Alexis asks if David has by any chance taken Patrick's phone or someone else's phone or seen social media in any way, shape or form, because no biggie, but Moira may have posted their entire conversation to social media about the oopsie-daisy.
Patrick's panicked.
He is very panicked because he's already trying to deal with his frazzled fiance.
He's already trying to talk him off a ledge. And this isn't.
And
just
now this
push
is
him.
Becoming a global issue. He just can't handle that right
literally
now.
A global issue.
And Alexis says, don't worry, I'm taking it down. And she's like miming, touching her phone really fast. And it's still up. And Moira's kind of commenting on how it's picking
it's
up
a lot of buzz. Yeah.
A lot of traction, a lot of buzz.
No publicity is bad publicity. And it's this story is just a funny.
And
people
Moira,
love it.
To try to pivot out of any responsibility, talks about how she was strong-armed into social media marketing and how her dear friend in Singapore convinced her to do a living stream.
a living stream.
And Alexis is like, listen, she didn't know what she was doing. She recorded the whole thing. Patrick says, listen, just get it down. David can never know. I'm afraid he'll never sleep again if he does find out. But then he notices Alexis didn't actually take it down like she pretended to. So he basically gives her a stare down until she
He's going to wait right here until it's actually down.
Until she finally takes it down. So she reluctantly does. And we'll have to see if David catches wind of it, but at least for now it's off of the Interflix social media page
for
thank
now
goodness. Katie, speaking of Interflix, we're going to take a quick break, throw it to our sponsor, and then we'll be right back to check in with Johnny, Stevie, and Roland.
Great.
In a world where dusty, crusty movie theaters with their overpriced features have had their turn, it's time to hand the crown over to video on demand streaming services. But not just any Walt Positive or Rainbow Turkey streaming fad will do. Instead, turn to the newest and most dynamic of digital cinema and telebroadcast catalogs. That's right, it's this week's sponsor, Interflix. Coming to a phone screen or bathroom laptop session near you, Interflix has the latest and greatest films in their library just waiting for you to explore. With multiple tier subscription options to suit any budget, whether you're a nightly cinephile or a mindless background watcher, there's something for everyone. And coming this fall, Interflix is excited to announce their newest release, The Crows Have Eyes 3, The Crowning, starring television's and now cinema's Moira Rose. Mention this podcast to receive complimentary closed captioning for your first 6 month subscription. So next time you find yourself unsatisfied as you scroll to the bottom of the primo streaming and hula hooping barrels, jump ship to Interflix, and you'll be glad you did.
And we are back. Thank you very much to our sponsor, Interflix, for sponsoring this episode.
Steph, in case you were not aware, Interflix picked up the Forever Fossilized brand, and you can stream every single one of our wedding videos.
Oh my god! Interflix,
if you're interested, if you're interested in watching strangers' weddings, you are able to do that on Interflix.
That is a niche for somebody. If people will watch out. Live streaming, like people playing video games for 8 hours.
Absolutely. Weddings are way more entertaining.
Strangers' weddings. For
sure. I feel like you would be into that right now. Just to catch ideas for your wedding.
For research. Yeah, I would be into it.
For research purposes, check out Interflix for all of our 200 plus wedding
library.
Our complete library of wedding collection.
Well, congrats. It's very exciting.
Thanks. Still making money off that business one way or another.
Yeah, keep that money coming. Royalties, baby. All right, we're going to pivot to, like I said, Johnny and Stevie, and Roland's along for the ride. It's actually his truck they're in. They go for a little road trip down the road to another motel. And this reminds me, something I wanted to mention last week, we just didn't have time for, is when I was up in the Upper Peninsula for Labor Day weekend, there are so many motels up there that are either like still in business, but just real rinky-dinky, or completely abandoned. And I remember, before we even started this podcast, I went up there, I think in 2020, and I had that kind of idea of somebody needs to revive all of these. And like, maybe this show could be a way to kickstart that, but there's just so much untapped potential with all of these roadside motels. And here we see a perfect example of one that is actually in business, but it has gone up for sale for reasons we'll find out. And
when you think about those small motels too, I have to guess that a lot of them probably went out of business just because of technology and who the proprietors were and how things are being booked online. People don't just drive away and
big
go out
business.
And stop where they stop. Now, my mom and dad used to do that. Just go out and stop wherever they would see a place and whatever. But if someone got all of them and marketed all of them, like an Airbnb style website, but just for small hotels like this, it could be a really lucrative, I feel like.
Yeah.
Because the people in that business or those types of businesses were probably older and probably not
totally
able to keep up with the technology, but someone could certainly.
And even though they are kind of simple and basic, there's something charming about them where they're all a little unique versus like your big box hotel chains that are all exactly the same.
And if they're nice and redone, what more do you need?
Exactly.
Really? We could have stayed in one of those.
We didn't use our hotel except
for watching Twister and sleeping. Like, what else do we need but a bed and a TV, you know?
So one movie I watched recently this summer, I'm a pretty big Alfred Hitchcock fan. I've slowly been working my way through his catalog over the last, like, I don't know, 5 years. I finally watched Psycho, which I knew a lot about. I just never watched it. The Bates Motel. Mm. Ooh, now that, if I pulled up to a hotel that had a big haunted mansion behind it, I might not.
Pass.
I might pass on that one just based
on. What if Sadie was with you and wanted to stay in the spookiest room?
Oh, man, she would love it.
Yeah.
I would be scared for Norman Bates if she was there. Let's just put it that way. But yeah, there's so many cute, charming motels. And this is a good example of one. Stevie did not know that this is where they were going, though. She's been corralled into a mystery.
She really has. She's been kidnapped, basically.
She's been kidnapped. And Johnny is ready to build that Rosebud Motel empire without even like really consulting her, it sounds like. And not only is she like skeptical, but now she's a little on the edge. Kind of reminds him, you know, we should talk about things before we just jump in and build an empire. But he's like, well, I just wanted to surprise you and show it to you in person. He's clearly a full steam ahead kind of guy. You know, when he's got an idea, he just wants to run with it. He notices, you know, there's lots of cars, though, in the parking lot. He thought they were showing up for a private showing of this. What he thought
was more like an open house than a private showing.
It seems like an open house. Exactly. And then Roland says Roland, of all people, they had him coordinate this appointment, which does not sound like a good
idea. And herein is the problem.
Exactly. Because just then the agent comes up asking if they're here to see Benny Terkstra. Roland thought it was Betty that they were meeting, but to be fair, he was mowing the lawn when he was on the phone. It's like, really, Roland?
I don't even like making an important call with my office music quietly in the background. I have to turn everything off.
It's not that he took a call. He was He called while he was mowing the lawn. But Betty is Benny's wife. And then she tells the three of them to follow her in. And just like that, we are back to another funeral, Katie.
Another funeral.
It's not us. It's the show.
It's a recurring theme here, guys. We're not the morbid ones. The writers are the morbid ones.
It's the show. This is definitely not an open house. This is definitely a wake.
Yikes.
Roland realizes he might have misheard the woman. She might have said viewing on the phone and not showing. Viewing of the body. And the body is Benny's body because Benny...
It's not even a viewing because the casket's closed.
Well, I think closed or open.
We always call that visitation.
Okay,
I've never heard it called viewing.
You know, we would probably call it awake or visitation. Yeah, because viewing seems a little medical. Like we're viewing,
like we're checking out this cadaver in the lab today.
Yeah, exactly. Johnny is just so fed up with Roland for this stupid mix up.
This is like, a really honestly, big Johnny, fuck up, but you shouldn't have left this to Roland.
What did you think was
going to
happen? Exactly. Yeah. Cut to Stevie and Johnny awkwardly seated at this very low turnout wake for Benny at the motel of all places. It must have really been an important place to him, I guess. We see Roland in the background filling up his plate while Stevie points out that this would not have happened if Johnny hadn't been in such a rush to surprise her. They could have avoided this whole funeral situation, but Johnny says, no, it's Roland's fault. And he's acting like they're still going to buy this place. But Stevie is nowhere close to being on board with that plan.
This should have been discussed.
He's really just pushing this on her and it's getting kind of old school Johnny aggressive. I'm not a fan of it at all. And then the agent who we met earlier brings up the widow, who is Betty. And
How did you know my Benny?
They're trying to make up a story about how they knew her late husband.
Well, two bumbling idiots. I was going to say three bumbling idiots, but Stevie's
like, I'm having no part of this.
Not in this.
Johnny's trying to, you know, build a story of how they were friends or acquaintances, really. Roland chimes in, we knew him from bowling league. But she corrects him, oh, you mean curling? Which
very
Roland
Canadian.
Reynolds. And I was going to say, didn't we see signs
we
in Canada?
We saw a curling arena. A curling arena.
That's what I have that in my notes. A curling league or a curling alley.
What is it? It's an arena or hall? Curling hall?
Curling hall, maybe?
Sounds maybe.
So that must be very Canadian.
It was in that cute little town where the Bloss Barn was. We saw it when we were driving in, and then we never walked close to it to get a picture or anything. Not that it mattered, but
and remind
it was just
me,
funny.
Curling is the one they do in the Olympics where they throw heavy rock with a handle, and then they
like scrub the ice and
they shimmy
try and
the
slow
ice
it down.
To get it hit a certain
it's
point.
It's very technical.
So technical.
I know nothing about it, but
it looks
hilarious,
though.
You see those people sweeping that shit, you know they know what
they're doing. They're into it.
Yeah. If anybody knows more about curling other than us,
let
saying,
us know.
You fling that curled? Thing and you sweep that shit. Tell us the more technical lingo.
You sweep that shit, exactly.
Slide on the ice. Please, please give us the more technical lingo for that.
I remember the first year that was in the Olympics. I don't know if it was like 2016 or something, but it was like such a big deal because it was such like a new, we never saw that.
Big in Canada though.
In that capacity. Yeah, totally. And we hear a little bit more about curling because Johnny's trying to smooth things over, said, oh, we just wanted to pay our respects. You know, this must be so stressful for you with this loss. And then he does an eyebrow raise and selling the motel. It's like, okay, Johnny, easy, like get out of this like pushy mentality, you know.
I don't remember, she says, I don't remember seeing you at Benny's last Bonspiel.
Yeah, and then I had to Google that. A Bonspiel
I literally just did
is a curling tournament, that's what they call it.
Okay.
And Roland tries to cover, oh, we must have been at a different Bonspiel that day, and then we had another Bonspiel.
We had a more important Bonspiel. Roland
and this widow is quickly picking up that they did not know her husband, like they're pretending to. And she says, I think we should speak outside. And so Stevie, who just wants to go home because she wasn't quote unquote in the curling league.
Can I go? I wasn't in the curling league. Can I be excused?
Johnny just says, nope, we're all in this mess. So they're back outside and Betty is grilling them. But we find out she thinks they are federal agents that apparently she was warned about because her husband,
Benny, had a dark past.
Her late husband had a shady poker history, and now she's getting caught up in the mess afterwards. And she's trying to distance herself from it all. Also, Roland is standing there with his full plate of food, of course. And
also, though, this was a little bit prior to this, before Betty came up. I almost called him Eugene. Johnny, again, is enamored with the fact that they have egg salad at this wake. They had it at Bob's brother's wake. He loved it then too.
Carl's, egg salad. He's eating the egg salad while egg we're salad singing.
He must love egg salad. Johnny, that must be his favorite. Gross.
I hate.
Oh, really?
The name.
Oh my God. I like a good egg salad. If I make it.
Eggs and what? Mayonnaise?
Well, I like very light on the mayonnaise, some mustard, some celery, some aromatics in there, like dill is a common one. I'm not a big dill fan. I like celery and onions, so.
No, hard pass.
Prep hard pass for pass. You. Okay, all right, fine.
So, yeah, she thinks they're federal agents and says no need to keep up the act. Stevie's face has Fed written over it, all over it, apparently, which Stevie's like, flattered
she's in her typical flannel shirt and like what of that
she's undercover
fed. Yep.
But Johnny says no, we're just here to see about buying the motel, which ends up becoming a bit of a relief to her because she thought they were here to like
take her money. But after this, do you really want to buy this motel? It sounds kind of like things sketch. Might get sketch.
Yeah. And turns out, in a twist of fate, she actually knew Maureen Budd because Johnny says we're from the Rosebud Motel and she knew of that. And Stevie says, oh, yeah, Maureen was my aunt. And now suddenly there's this connection because they used played to play bingo
together. I was just thinking, I need to go to bingo somewhere
you
around
would
here.
Be great
to
if,
have
you would enjoy
it. Well, there's no
bingo.
Skills. It would be great. If,
but just I think you would enjoy the environment.
We used to play it so at our church picnic every year. They had a bingo tent and it once we turned 18, it was the biggest highlight of our summer because we could go sit with our grandma, our 80, 90 year old grandma. She was 80 at the time, but all the cousins would go sit with grandma and play bingo. And it was like the highlight when we turned 18 and we could
That's
finally
so
go
cute.
In there. Yeah.
That's cute. And you have to be 18 because it's technically gambling.
It's a gambling,
right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. That's too funny. Yeah, they apparently knew Maureen from bingo, and then Roland has to chime in. Oh, yeah, we also used to play bingo with Maureen right after curling.
Just give up this bruise.
Just stop, Roland, stop. And then Betty is like, you know, it would be kind of a relief to sell this place to somebody we know. Makes it sound like a deal is coming together, but Stevie still wants to pump the brakes. Like, this is all just getting out of control for her. Johnny says, listen, we'll, you know, this clearly is a difficult, busy time. We'll touch base in like a week. Just wanted to come pay our respects. And when he says that, Betty is like, well, if you'd like, we could, you know, bring you in for a final viewing. And Roland, I'd really love to see old Benny's face one more time. It's like, Roland, stop. Because she's about to open up that coffin.
It's over, Roland. It's over.
It's over. The jig is up. Let it go. So back in our motel, not this jank motel, funeral motel, Johnny's at work behind the desk, going over some papers, maybe running some numbers, trying to see if he can buy this new place. Stevie comes in and Johnny does apologize for rushing her into that situation, kind of blindsided earlier today. But he's still business Johnny. He's like, well, you know, in spite of all that, we managed to make a connection. Maybe I'll get a better deal than I originally thought. And she finally comes clean that she needs to talk to him. It's not just about the new motel. It's about everything. She's not sure if she feels ready to commit to this business as a whole, which really takes Johnny back. And you're like, wait a minute. Didn't we have this conversation a while ago when they did like the photo shoot with Ray and Alexis? And she was feeling unsure about the business. And
so that was like back in season 4, I guess it was that happened.
And he kind of tried to reassure her that they were partners. But now she's like.
At that point, though, it was just about this one motel.
Right.
Now Johnny wants to take it like way further, which is a much bigger commitment.
Yes. And she says she's not sure she wants that, but maybe she just doesn't even want to. She doesn't know if she wants this to be the rest of her life is what she's saying. And She mentions that Cabaret really made her feel like she should push herself. And we know that Cabaret has since ended. And she's wondering, what else is out there for me? And should I be looking to see if there is something else worthwhile? And last week,
she had that conversation with Alexis. She said, now that Cabaret is done, I feel like, now what should I do? Like, she should do something.
Yeah. Johnny's face gets really serious because he's like, are you sick? Like, do you want out of the business? And she's like, no, but I don't know. She just needs time to figure it out. And I like that Johnny is able to get it together, because he does say, you know, if you feel like this is what you need to do is push yourself, I'm not going to stand in your way. Apparently, this was the same thing he did when he was 10 years old and he left the button factory.
The good old button factory.
But he does admit, like, I'm not going to pretend not to be hopeful that you don't come back. But nonetheless, I wish you luck in figuring out, you know, if there is something else out there for you. Mm-hmm. And she is very moved. I think she's the most sincere with him out of anybody that she interacts with. Like, with David, it's sarcasm and Alexis. But with Johnny, he can really, like, get her on a more emotional level.
It's very dad and daughter relationship.
Mm-hmm. And like Moira, too, even with Cabaret. Yeah. Stevie.
She very much just appreciates his fatherly advice.
She does. And I think he sees her as a daughter at this point. We've talked about this. So he says, you know, I wish you luck, but part of me still hopes you'll come back. But I respect this choice that you're making. And she says, you know, thank you. I think I'll just head home early and think about it.
Trying to get out of work.
And he's like, oh, you could think about it and finish your shift. And she's like, that's fair. And gets
OK. He's going to miss that enthusiasm.
He really is going to miss that enthusiasm. And if she leaves, it's literally him and Roland. And what's going to do then? I got to say,
that's my enthusiasm for work, too. I think I should probably just go.
Yeah, the slightest inconvenience. I think it's time for me to leave. So then we cut to our final scene of the episode. Just a quick one. Back in Patrick's apartment, like I said, kind of a unique start and finish for this episode. They're getting ready for bed after the end of a very long day for everybody. And Patrick says that he's glad David decided to stay, basically, after everything.
I'm glad we're not getting a divorce.
David says there's no liquid left in his body, so he really made sure that this is not going to be a repeat offense tonight, I guess. Kitty, do you cut off beverages before bed at a certain time?
I was just thinking about this, so I'm drinking water right now. And I just got done telling you before we started how I'm doing this 30-day just set of challenges for myself. Well, one of the challenges is drinking a gallon of water a day. And I have definitely in the last 3 days had to get up in the middle of the night twice. Mm-hmm. So today, I was like, I gotta finish that gallon by 8 o'clock or something. Of course, I haven't. I have one more glass of water to go. It's 9:05 p.m. Okay. right now.
Yeah.
So, obviously, if I'm drinking, I don't, because I'm usually drinking at night.
Mm-hmm.
I need to, though, is the moral of that story. I need to now, if I'm trying to drink a gallon, be done with that shit by 8 o'clock. So I'll be working on that.
Yeah. I know. I don't usually have a cutoff, but like I said, I'm not one to, like, I know some people who, like, that's just part of the routine is they have to get up and pee every morning at like 2 a.m. or whatever. That's never been me, but
Even before this gallon of water challenge, I generally wake up around 3 a.m. I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
But
your circadian rhythm or whatever.
Yes. I would love to just like sleep. Sleep sounds great. Just a solid 8 hours of sleep. Does anybody even get that anymore?
Chime in if you do. And let us know your secrets. So David gets back into bed and he hears the crinkles. He forgot about the new mattress
the plastic sheet.
Patrick promises he'll take it off first thing tomorrow, though. And then they kind of settle into bed and David, kind of changing the subject, wonders how Moira did on the internets and is kind of curious about what his mom posted. But Patrick tries to deflect. He's like, let's change the subject. Not subtle at all. And to distract him, he offers to share something slightly embarrassing about his private life. And David's not sure he wants to find out about this, but Patrick says,
he says, would it help if I were to share something embarrassing with you? And David says, I don't think I'm in the mood for that tonight.
Maybe another time.
Something else.
wait.
Yeah.
What you're saying?
Insinuating. Yeah, I know.
Oh.
Yeah.
See, I wasn't on that level.
It was a sexy joke.
That was a sexy joke. Yeah. Good catch, Katie.
My mind is dirtier than yours, in all fairness.
I guess it is. It's all that water you're having. You're looking with more clarity now.
I think that's just, yeah. I think I would have caught that over you anyway probably. Before.
But Patrick says, listen, we're going to be married. We should know everything about each other. And surprise number one, he reaches in his nightstand drawer and grabs a mouth guard, which apparently he uses whenever David's not around. And it just helps him, I'm guessing, with like grinding your teeth.
Yeah, lots of people wear these.
I've tried those like once or twice. I didn't care for them. I almost felt like I was like clenching my jaw more than
just to hold it in or something.
Yeah, or just like I was aware of it.
Yeah.
And David says, you're very beautiful. And then Patrick has to up the ante a little bit and adds his little nose breathing thing to help with like snoring or sleep apnea. I've tried one of these before and it is uncomfortable, and I don't think it. And I'm also afraid that it would like permanently like stretch your nose out, because you're basically opening up your sinuses, your nasal passages.
Joe has a CPAP, and if he doesn't use it, I can tell, because he snores. That's why he basically got it, so that I could get some fucking sleep in my life.
There you go.
But like, if he doesn't use it, he'll just try to like go to bed without it, because he's just lazy and or just needs to go to bed right away. And I will hound him. I'm like, you need to put that thing on, because I cannot sleep with you snoring in my face.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's a constant battle.
I guess Patrick also suffers with maybe some snoring or sleep apnea.
Yeah, that's like a little guy.
That's like a drugstore version.
Yeah.
He hasn't gone full sleep study yet, probably.
Yeah.
David gets a little smirk on his face, though, from this gesture. Says
so
he's
hot.
Never been more attracted to Patrick. Goes in for a kiss, which has to be a little difficult with all that equipment.
Yes.
And then he hears a notification on his phone, and it's Ronnie, of all people.
Ronnie.
She's the one who wants to spill the beans, texting him a link to presumably Moira's live stream. But Patrick quickly averts this issue and grabs David's phone. It's bedtime, David.
Yeah.
And then that's the end of our episode.
You think Patrick is going to delete that text, right?
Yeah, I think so. So yeah, that's our cute little episode. Like I said, some real good Moira one-liners.
Very funny. Some good one-liners.
A little bit of setting the stage maybe for what the Rosebud Motel Empire and also Stevie's future might look like. And yeah, that's that. So
a
Katie, I do have just one would you rather that I could
okay
for this week. I feel like we'll end with our traditions that we've already started this final season. I'll continue with the would you rather. So my question for you is, would you rather know every weird quirk or dark secret about your partner, or would you rather keep some things a mystery? Like, do you want to know every weird little thing about your husband?
I mean, honestly, I was trying to think about this before when I was watching this end scene. Do I have any secrets from Joe? And I really don't think that I do. Like, I sleep with my baby blanket. And he knows that. That's a pretty, you know, I can't think of anything else.
No.
No. I mean, I guess if I had something, I might want to keep it. So I guess I would take that option.
Okay.
Keeping the option if something comes up.
Yeah.
He doesn't need to know about.
Right. Some things are worth keeping a little mystery.
Yeah.
Maybe.
A little mystery.
Yeah. For sure.
Is that what you would do? You would want to keep your secrets?
I think we're usually pretty open. Like, if the subject comes around, we'll usually be like, oh, by the way, here's this thing about me. Or sometimes I find out he has like a really weird quirk or habit, and I'm like, oh, that's new and different, but okay.
Now I know that.
Now I know that. So yeah, I think we're pretty open books as well. And like at this point, we've, like I said, he's seen me have at least one panic attack. And so
I can think of one thing that Joe, I don't even know if I want this on the
You can tell me later.
Okay, well.
But I'm curious for our listeners, do you feel like you want your partner to be an open book and vice versa? Or do you feel like some things are better kept to yourself, even with your most loved one? Good question for the week.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Katie, I think you're leading us next week. And what does next week look like?
I am leading us next week. So this motel deal is kind of getting on the move next week. So Johnny and Roland are going to pound the pavement, and Moira, with a little help from Moira, to kind of get this deal going and moving. I think we'll see a little bit of Ted and the Skype zone again. And Stevie's she's going out. She's got a job interview. She's taking this to the next level.
She's taking this seriously.
She mentioned it this week, and she is on it next week. So that's what's happening next week.
All right.
So we'll talk about secrets this week, hopefully.
Anyone want to share their bedwetting, or what was the medical term?
Nighttime and boy, something with an A.
Enuresis.
Enuresis.
That was pronounced.
It started with an A.
Enuresis.
Nocturnal enuresis.
No judgment free. Or we are judgment free zone.
we shared our stories. Who cares?
Yeah, it's all good. Knowledge is power. I think those are a couple good questions for the week.
If we in fact we were just saying, not that this portion of it, but we just have a little senioritis going into this last season
when it comes to our administrative duties.
I still have fun, like I still prepare for this just as much, and this part will never take any less work. Yeah. But the administrative duties were lacking, and
it's
that's
the extracurricular.
It's all of it. I mean, yeah, it's okay.
But we're still having fun. And you know what?
We hope you are, too.
We hope you are, too. Exactly.
I mean, if you're not, why are you still here?
You have other choices. But if you choose to stay, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
All right, Katie. Thanks for helping us get through this episode. Looking forward to your breakdown next week. Have a good week, everybody out there. And until then, best wishes.
And warmest regards.
Fat Spatula.